This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 55. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and with me we're down one co-host, but we still have a great lineup for you. First off, we have Jen Heath of JenHeath.com. How you doing, Jen?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Thanks for joining us again. It's the second week of the new Jen Heath Revolution at the FitCast, which that's what we're calling it.
Love to be here.
Awesome. And we also got Keith Scott of KeithScottTraining.com. What's up, Keith? Did you save anyone this weekend? Or?
No, I wasn't on the beach. Sorry, Kev. I'll save that for the summer.
Okay. Well, it's summertime. It's June.
Too cold.
Well, I know Jimmy was at the beach today. Jimmy.
You're damn right. I wasn't at the beach today. I was at the beach yesterday for about 4 hours, and it was a good time. Let's just put it that way.
Well, just mentioning that Jimmy's from JimmySmithTraining.com if you want to get some more information on everyone there. And I'm from TheFitCast.com. That's how I roll. But,
wow.
Yeah, let's jump into the FitCast topics quickly, and we'll get into this great show for you. In this show, we're actually going to be talking about deloading, the concept of deloading, and also really why you should be doing it, signs that you might need a deloading week. And I was just talking to Tony couple days ago, and he's not even lifting this week. He's taking a whole week off of lifting. Yeah, Tony Genelco.
You have actually, to.
Yeah, and some people out there are just going from workout to workout to workout, just heavy, 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 and they wonder why they get so tired and they get and their lifts actually don't increase. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. And also, we're going to be talking about exercising outside, some inventive ways of training outside of the gym to try to keep it, you know, fresh and to take advantage of this weather outside. And the most important thing is we're going to keep it free. We're going to try to talk about most things you can do for free or with little or no money. So let's jump into the FitCast topics quickly. First off, with Blackstar Labs, we're going to be starting a secret word of the week where I'm going to be saying a secret word during the show. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. It's going to be a different time every week on the show. And if you
I have a question real quick about that. If it's a secret word, how are people going to know? Like, are you going to
say this
secret word and then say it real quick?
Yeah,
or?
I'm going to say it.
Oh, so you're going to... All right. Well, can we have a drum roll in the background? Because that'd be cool.
Damn it. Yeah.
I just made 15 more minutes of work for you. I'm just trying to get the listeners their free money's worth.
All right. Well, yeah. Listen for the drum roll. But anyways, for the secret word of the week, I was talking to Carl Valley, and we talked about this while we're doing an insider interview, which will be up this week. And for Blackstar Labs, I'm going to be saying a secret word of the week where if you enter it in the comment section at checkout, you're going to get some bonus free stuff. Like, he's talking about giving away, like, free products, not samples. I'm talking about, like, free fish oil, things like that. And Carl is really, he was going kind of nuts. We really want this Blackstar Labs thing to take off. And I hope, as always, you are using the code FIT10. And you can even link to the Blackstar Labs site through the fitcast.com right now. So make sure to listen for that drum roll right now. And hopefully it'll be coming up sometime later in the show. Hopefully I'll remember to tell you about it. Next up, the last thing I want to mention about the FitCast Insider is that their insider deal that I talked about last week is going to be extended until Tuesday at midnight, because I know I had at least two people told me that they couldn't sign up till Monday. So we're going to wait till Tuesday at midnight. That's going to be it. The last time you can get $100 for a year with the free t-shirt and free DVDs, things like that. And also for the 25% off the $25 order from the FitCast Insider .com/store.
Kev, can I bring something up real quick?
Go for it.
I know we had talked about it. We didn't mention it on the show last week, or when we were mentioning all the new stuff that was going on. But we were going to do like a mailbag.
I forgot about that part
of the show where, basically, guys, what you do is whatever our roundtable or whatever topic we talk about, this fitness related, nutrition related, whatever. We're going to just take random questions about anything. two or three people every week. Just email Kevin any questions you have that you want myself, Keith, Jen, and Tony to answer. And we're going to pick, you know, randomly two to three questions per week of listeners' questions and just go over them. So cool to kind of have you guys get to work with all four of us more or less on that one question.
You know what, Jimmy? That's a great point to bring up. And if people want to email us questions at the FitCast, send them to questions@thefitcast.com or kevin@thefitcast.com, either way. And you know what? Let's make this even better deal. We'll pick one question a week that was our favorite, and we'll send you a free t-shirt. You know, that's a pretty good deal. It's free.
Well, these t-shirts are collector's items now because they say FitCast, Kevin Larrabee and John Williams.
Yes.
And imagine what a t-shirt would look like that says the FitCast with Kevin Larrabee, Jen Heath, Tony Gentilcore, Keith, Jimmy Smith. That'd be a long ass t-shirt.
That is, but you know what? Sooner or later, I'm gonna get some new shirts. We're obviously gonna keep the same label, but those are gonna be huge, especially when we get into the big time. We'll be on like MSNBC, things like that, and people are gonna be wanting those collector's items. Same for eBay, you know. Don't even wear it. Actually, know it, just wear it so it can help us get the word out. Anyways, last thing I want to mention again. With insider stuff, I know I said that was it, but I have interviews coming up with Carl Valley, Eric Cressy, Mike Boyle, new interview with Alan Cosgrove, our own Jen Heath, and our own Keith Scott. So we have some great new insider content lined up for you that would be coming out in the next few months, including
Keith,
that...
Welcome to Big Time.
No, Keith has a great idea for some insider content, and we're actually going to make it a series, and I think it's going to be phenomenal. And
no, well, I'm saying because Keith hasn't done an insider interview. I believe everybody else has. I know Jen did one, and Tony does a monthly one. I've done one, so welcome, Keith.
Thanks. I've been laying low.
All right. Well,
they're not ready for you, Keith.
I know.
Moving on, I want to mention that Jen has a new product out called Fat Loss Pros, which she just launched this weekend. And Jen, I want to get you to talk about this a little bit for a second, but I want to mention that I actually did an interview with Jen at thefitcast.com where you can read that, learn a little bit more about what Fat Loss Pros is all about, and you can actually order through thefitcast.com and help us out as well through the site. So Jen, do you just want to take a couple minutes and let us know what Fat Loss Pros is all about? I know I put you on the spot. I didn't tell you to do this, but...
No worries. Fat Loss Pros is... I don't know, everyone always just obsessed about getting lean, and they'll read anything and everything. And like, I had a client before she became a client of mine. I mean, I read this from Lyle McDonald. I read this from Alan Cosgrove. I read this from some... She listed off all these names, and I just got thinking, you know, there really are some folks out there that really know what they're talking about, but people will go and get information from everywhere, and they have a hard time putting it together and having any sort of focus on that information. So what I decided to do was take some of the biggest, most elite names in physique transformation. I listed a few, but I mean, there's some awesome people on this. Dr. Dee Pasquale, Dr. Eric Serrano, Dr. Lonnie Lowry. I mean, people, fitness gurus that we know of, Ryan Lee, good friend of mine, you guys know Ryan. The list goes on and on. There's 18 people, but I gave a little bit of focus to their information. I took kind of the general idea that everyone's trying to get of what works and what doesn't as far as fat loss is concerned, as far as training and nutrition, kind of an individual but general perspective on that topic, and then I tried to go into several topics each, specialization of these people that everyone's always trying to do a carbon copy, and there are just certain topics like nutrient partitioning, certain specialized periodization techniques that will work for certain metabolisms and not for others. Just specific things that people take too much of that and they try to do it all and never get anywhere. Where now they can listen to all these people who really know what they're talking about, learn the nitty-gritty about it, figure out how it applies to them, and actually make a really solid plan. I mean, this information, I mean, like I said in our interview, I would have, luckily I know Dr. Serrano, and we kind of correspond back and forth, but if I was not an associate of his, I know that I would pay hundreds of dollars just to talk to that guy. I mean, he's amazing. Just to get the information that Dr. Serrano has, him alone. And here we've got 18 of these people. Plus there's like awesome bonuses on there, training programs and ebooks and all sorts of stuff. So it's just, it is the product to get if you want the actual knowledge that you have not been able to find.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I know. I got to check some of it out, and there's hours upon hours of material in that package, and I'm a little jealous, you know, Jenta, that you're able to get all those great guys together and get those interviews together into one package. But, I mean, everyone should get at least give it a look. Go to either the fitcast.com and read the interview that I did with Jen, and you can order through there. Or also, you can go to Jen's site at jenheath.com and order through there as well.
Can I say something about Jen's
and
product?
And you can also go to fatlesscode.net.
Oh, there you go.
Kev, can I say something?
What was that? Did somebody have a question?
Yeah, I was actually going to say something about your product, Jen, because I looked at it real quick, and I think like what you were saying, there's a lot of topics. It's almost like people are afraid to like talk about like the real hard-hitting topics out there, and like everybody's taking a generic approach to fat loss. But just looking at who Jen interviewed and what they talked about, like without a doubt, I think that product would be an excellent, excellent fat loss product. So definitely kudos to you for putting that together, Jen.
Thank you, thank you. That was the whole goal. It's just that people want to know what works, and you've got to go straight to the people who know, the experts that have been there, done that, and that's what I did. I put all those people together, and there you go. That's Fat Loss Pro.
Good stuff.
Very good. Well, lastly, before we jump into our, I guess we have two roundtable discussions this week, but first off, I just want to go around, I guess, our internet table and see what everyone's doing for their articles that are going to be up on thefitcast.com this week. If you didn't check out last week's show, we're actually doing daily articles that will be up on thefitcast.com. Each one of us are contributing between myself, Tony, Jimmy, Keith, and Jen. So
shame on you for not checking the show out last week. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, 2,000 other people did.
So. Oh.
Number dropping. All right. Anyways, let's start off with you, Jimmy. Jimmy, what are you going to be writing about?
I'm trying to remember the name of the title because I sent it to you like a week ago. I'm actually going to be talking about post-workout nutrition. It seems like everybody kind of just follows one school of thought, and I've looked at a lot of the research, and I'm not making a blind statement here. It's just my opinion on what I feel works best for physique. Training alone post workout, it's not what I do with athletes I train. It's not what I'd recommend to an athlete. But nutritionally, it's what I do with pure physique clients. And those are people that are stepping on stage, like people that have to model and do photo shoots, or just people that are really, really serious and really want to just look excellent on the beach. Like I said, I know there's a lot of information out there, and I know it's a type of pretty controversial topic because the minute you go against the grain, you know, in this industry or any industry, people are just going to automatically tell you, you know, I'm wrong, and then no, I'm not wrong. Like, I have an opinion. Everybody's allowed to have an opinion, even Kevin, who at 21 can't have an opinion, contrary to what some sad people online say. But I'm going to be talking about just post-workout nutrition and what I think is ideal for physique people. Look forward to it.
And that will be up on Tuesday, I think.
Thursday,
Thursday, same thing. All right, how about you, Keith? What are you going to have for us this week?
I'm going to go into part two of my article last week where I talked about hip, and I gave three simple tests that you can do to figure out if you have some hip issues. And I'm going to talk about some exercises to help correct those issues that I talked about last time, and I'm probably going to throw in a few other things as well to help people not only correct the problems but to prevent some issues too. I got a lot of really good feedback from that article, and I got a lot of questions even sent to me personally about it. So I think it's going to be a real good article. I'm going to try to keep it simple, and it's going to be very easy to read, so people can just kind of pick these things out, do them on their own, and hopefully get a little bit healthier. It kind of goes along with what we talked about last week when we talked about our hip discussion, but I'm going to get more into it and hopefully have some pictures too.
Awesome. And I guess before me, Jen, what are you going to be writing about this week?
I'm going to do a little blippet on women and taking creatine. It's going to just be, little Jen's opinion on why most women should probably be taking creatine if they're weight training.
But they don't want to bulk up, Jen. Come on.
That's why I'm writing it. Awesome. That's why I'm writing it. Women think that that's going to make them big, but I got clients getting lean, taking creatine, so that's what I'm going to write about.
In your face, you anti-creatine women.
Creatine is one of the healthiest.
That's right.
Well, it's very healthy for you. Even you look at a lot of the research that's not even like muscle mass related, and I mean how much it helps brain function, cognitive function, so on.
Well, and that alone right there can like pump your training to the next level, having better
exactly.
brain function.
Exactly.
Anyway, time to get converted over to the Jen Heath School of Thought, which is I don't go a day without taking creatine, among other things, so I'm just going to tell everyone why, and that's that.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to it. I think everyone out there should check that out, because hopefully Jen will be putting a lot of those myths to test, like Mythbusters. Good show.
And that'll be on Friday. Mine's on Friday.
And on Friday. Well, that's what we finished with the best, you know, best for last.
Like he said the same line
that's
last week.
That is why. In fact, I told Kevin that was a total stipulation of me coming on the show, that
it's
everything for me was going to be best for last.
You holding out on us,
yeah.
Jen? Is that it?
Wow.
Do you have, like, a superstar clause in your contract? Jeez. I just get free insider downloads. What do you get?
Yeah, Jimmy, you can renegotiate at the end of the year.
I might not be on the show next week. I'm going to hold out now.
All right, T.O.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, anyways, my article. Well, I have two articles that I wrote, but I'm trying to pick between the two. Actually, no. You know what? I'm just going to go with the one that I wrote about doing too much, because, again, I focused on a series of dumb things that beginners do, because I was a beginner once, and I did stupid things. One of the things was lifting 6 days a week and training 7 days a week, overtraining, more or less doing too much. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, just talking about how many days you should be lifting, how to go about proper recovery, things like that. And hopefully everyone will get a little bit out of it. And another thing I want to talk about quickly before we go on is I actually ate a meal at McDonald's this week. It wasn't like a meal. It was just, you ever get like their grilled chicken there? Like I was in a pinch, and that was the only thing I could have in the mall was, and I only had.
Now hold on a second, because see, I eat the grilled bacon chicken salad over at McDonald's. My kids like to get their chicken nuggets, and they love to have picnics in the park. So I'm forced to go there sometimes because of the kids, and I always just get that grilled chicken salad thing. Grilled, of course, not fried. But that thing's got 31 grams of protein, like 10 or 12 grams of carbs and 10 or 12 grams of fat. That's a pretty healthy spread right there. It's a little high in sodium because it's processed food, but nonetheless, there you go.
Yeah, I reverted back to an article that Mike Robertson actually wrote for T Nation, the Ass Master, was writing about food on the run. And I remember him writing about, if you're at like McDonald's, just get the grilled chicken, just eat the breast, and as slimy as the and rubbery as the chicken was, I survived through a movie. So, and actually that brings up the last topic. We're actually, for most of the people, we're going to be jumping into our round table, but if you want to listen to off-topic discussion, fast forward to the end of the show. But right now we're going to be talking about the round table discussion. For our first roundtable discussion this week, we're going to be talking about. Let's talk about deloading first, because this is something that I wanted to bring up last minute on the show. Because in my training with Eric Cressy, he has designed my programs for me, and we have a deloading week at the end of every 4 weeks. So basically, our sets go down, our reps may go lower or higher, or we just do a little bit lower weight, basically to, in a sense, deload. But first off, let's just do a little bit of a roundtable thing. And you know what, Jimmy, I'll go to you since you kind of have a loud mouth this week. And
first of all, you said you saved the best for last. You're going to be first twice in a row. I don't know, but no, go ahead.
All right, Jimmy. Well, just tell us, what are your thoughts on deloading? Did you implement it into a lot of your programs and for a lot of your clients, or is that something you really don't think about too much?
No, I think about it often. It depends. There'll be certain times where I'll go through 4-week cycles with my clients in terms of like a periodization model. And when that happens, I'll deload them on the third week so they can make better gains in the fourth. And then there's times where I just I go through 3 week cycles, and if there's a 3 week cycle, I actually just I don't do a deload, and then the first week of the next cycle, in that whole periodization scheme, is a little bit lower overall with volume and intensity. So that kind of replays the deload. I think it's essential. I think it kind of gets taken out of context in this industry because a lot of people look at it as purely just a strength thing. Like, I think you definitely need to do it if body compensation, training is your goal. Like, I think you have to get it as well, just from a pure endocrine standpoint, like when you look at your adrenal glands and adrenal exhaustion. So I think that's something you have to take into account. And just overall pulling the volume down. Like, sometimes I don't want to be in the gym on certain days doing, you know, eight sets of three or seven sets of four. Sometimes I want to go in there, and on my third week, you know, I want to bang out, you know, maybe four sets of four or something like that, and call it a day, shorten up the rest of my workout, and then know next time I'm coming back in, I'm going to hit it a lot harder, and I'm going to put up some different numbers. So I think you have to think about it. I think it has to be programmed in to a training program, simply just from like a recovery standard. It's not what you do in the gym; it's what you can recover from, you know. And I think no one takes that into account.
Yeah, I think a lot of people out there, especially people that are following these cookie cutter programs. A good example is people go. I know a lot of people at T Nation are huge on Waterbury programs. I know Chad creates amazing programs that work well as a cookie cutter program. And what the problem that people seem to make is that they go from, I don't know, they go from like big boy basics to total triple training. I don't know what the order is of his workouts, but they go from one to another without really stopping, without taking a rest week. And I think it could really affect you. Like right now, I had to go up and talk to Eric. I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm just so tired this week. Normally I wake up and I'm ready to go. Like, I wake up, I'm out of bed. I'm not drowsy. I'm ready to go. If I wake up at 7, I'm up at 7. If I wake up at, like, 8:30, I'm up at 8:30. I'm ready to go. And just this past week, I've been waking up again at, like, 8:30, and I don't want to get out of bed. I've just been so dead tired. Oh, my voice probably sounds horrible. I don't have my head.
Hello?
Sorry, I had to switch to my other headset.
I thought we lost everybody. I was like, damn, I dropped out.
No. My voice quality is going to sound like crap, though, for the first half of the episode. But that
is much better.
Is it?
Yeah, see, I was on my internal mic on my laptop, which...
Yeah, it wasn't going. It didn't sound very well.
Sorry about that. I'm using my Plantronics headset, which is much nicer.
I am using my Plantronics headset.
I
mean, it's not a Skype thing.
Anyway. Jen was making fun of her
there. I don't think she was.
I thought she was. All right. But not, like, real quick, Kev, just to jump back into what you said, like, people go from one program to another program. Like, you have to take a week off. I mean, the old method is, you know, once every 12 weeks you have to take a week off. And I don't know if it's necessarily like that, but I think you have to get – there has to be weeks where you just take everything off. You're not going to – you know, it's not going to affect you as bad as people think.
No, you're not gonna gain 10 pounds. You're not going to lose 10 pounds of muscle. It doesn't work like that.
Well, the myth altogether is that it's going to affect you bad. It's not going to affect you bad at all. People have to realize that it's only going to affect them good, only. As long as they don't go and pig out all week long. You know what I'm saying? What's the point of getting off your training and then just doing nothing? You can't just lay there and eat cake all day, but deloading is one of the best things that you can do for any training goal, I think.
Well, Keith, what's your take on this?
It's, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm glad we're talking about it because it needs to be talked about it, but it's almost too, I don't want to say complex, but it's almost too involved, you know, just to talk about and say, well, it has to be this way. I mean, Jimmy hit on something where he said it has to be programmed in, and I agree with that. I always program a deloading phase, but rarely does it ever happen when I wanted it to. And the reason is because when you're working with clients, they're going to deload by accident. They're going to deload on their own sometimes. And a lot of times I'll have clients that, for whatever reason, have to take off. They have to go on vacation. They're sick. and I wind up making that their deloading phase. Other times I have clients that are rolling along and they're like you, Kevin. They come to me and they feel like crap and it's not ready for their deloading phase on paper. But that doesn't mean we can't deload. So you, as a trainer or a coach, you have to be very aware of what's going on with each client and don't be so scripted in the sense that says, okay, just because it's week six or week three, you have to deload. Sometimes not everybody can handle the training the way that everybody else can. So sometimes you have to be aware enough of what's going on in your own body. Jimmy kind of hit on a couple factors when he talked about your adrenals. Sometimes it happens earlier in 3 weeks or earlier in 6 weeks. Or you have to map it out, but you have to be smart enough to do it when it's necessary. And each client is going to be different that way. I believe in it. I think it's necessary, and I just think you have to be smart enough to know when.
Yeah, and that's the thing he said is, like, this is where instinctive training really comes into play. Like, you see that a lot in the powerlifting world. When you go into the gym, how do you feel? Like he said about adrenal fatigue, like 90% of the American population is operating through some sort of adrenal fatigue. People are overstimulated. You know, people are using caffeine before they're training. People are taking all these thermogenic things to make them lose fat that are actually helping them to store, you know, lower abdominal fat. Since your adrenal glands become fatigued, your cortisol goes through the roof. And then all a bunch of hormonal issues come into play. But I think when you look at adrenal fatigue from that perspective, deloading, decreasing your volume, and intensity at times, because I know a lot of people say they just decrease volume, but decreasing volume and intensity and having that interplay correct, you're going to go do a lot to restore adrenal health. And then nutritionally, what are you doing? Deloading is not all about what you're doing in the gym. I mean, you know, are you taking B vitamins? I mean, B vitamins are huge for adrenal health. Are you taking a good zinc? I mean, I know there's a lot of companies out there that have products, but zinc is very much a like a synergistic nutrient, whereas everything plays better often when zinc's in there. I mean, it's amazing in my clinic when people come in, just giving them a simple zinc tally test. If you're not familiar with what a zinc tally test is, what it is more or less put a liquid in a little cup and you switch it around. And if it tastes like metal, then you know you have a pretty good zinc level in your body. If you don't taste anything, you know you're zinc deficient. And then you'll like see people will start getting sick a lot quicker and fatigued a lot quicker. So adrenal fatigue is as much recovery is as much what you do nutritionally and how you handle adrenal fatigue as it is training-wise too. And I think that's a factor in a boat a lot of people are missing. So
Jimmy, I got to stop a preemptive strike on you. Why? Because I know people might be sending the nasty emails. You might want to clarify what you meant when you said that thermogenics like don't work. Because I know some people live and die by them.
Well, that's the problem. Some people live and die by them.
Well, no, I'm saying that not. I went too far by saying that, but I'm saying they use it as like assistance.
Or yeah.
Even just for simple appetite suppression, something like that.
Well, that's the thing. When you look at stimulus, like you look at let me see if I have an old bottle. I'm looking right through like my supplement cabinet right now.
You have a cabinet of supplements?
Well,
Jimmy?
No, I actually have a drawer, actually.
Oh, you know, man, I got a pantry of supplements from a supplement shop.
Yeah.
All right, I'll have to stop by sometime and pick some stuff up.
Well, here's one right now.
By the way, I want to be able to chime in here at the end, so don't leave me out because I got a ton going on in my head. You guys are, like, getting a whole interview going on in my head right now.
Oh, sorry. When you look at, like, I'm not necessarily saying stimulants are bad and we shouldn't use them, but America as a country is overstimulated. I mean, people are waking up and people are having a cup of coffee or two and then going to work. Or you look at people, when they're getting ready to train, people are popping caffeine pills. They're taking, you know, Ripped Nitro, the latest, you know, thermogenic aid that has, you know, 100 milligrams of caffeine, 100 milligrams of green tea, 100 milligrams of yohimbine. And people are taking these stimulants that are just causing us to fatigue more and more, and you're only going to get a short-term immediate input. Yeah, you might lose more fat, but if it's further depleting and fatiguing our adrenal glands, that's going to cause to keep fat stored on those trouble areas. So I think the thing is that I know a lot of people depend on them, and I'm not saying you should never use them. Maybe if you know you have, like, a max effort attempt, or if, you know, for example, if you're going to improve, if you really want to improve your legs, right, and you can never get up to train legs, and it's your leg training day, you know, so you use your two lower split or body part split, whatever you want to use. If you have two of those days, then take your caffeine before then if you need to get you up. But America as a country is just overstimulated on the stuff that we take. I mean, you look at, like Japanese culture, like, they drink 8 cups of green tea a day, and, they, you know, it's a lot of the same stuff. You look at things like that, is we're just taking too much of it. So, I mean, Keith or Jen, if you guys want to take it over for me, I'm kind of dry mouth after
all
that talk.
Jen's going to lay it on us.
What do you got? just deloading, we're touching on all sorts of different methods of deloading. There's deloading and training, deloading, you know, you can supplement nutrition. And like I like what Keith said about being a little bit flexible. I mean, it is definitely good to plan it in. For me, everything's periodized. I'm on a yearly or bi-yearly competition schedule. I got my detraining, it's all planned in. Sometimes I get extra detraining if my body dictates to me that I need it. And, you know, my clients, I talk to them on a daily, every other day, some, you know, as little, at least once a week, and I just listen to their feedback. I've got women who think that detraining is going to make them fat. They don't know, you know, deloading will help them. I have to change their whole mindset about it. I have to explain to them, you know, why when they email me and they're frustrated because their weights went down, or they're really tired and they wanted to do 30 minutes of jogging on the treadmill and they can only go for five, and do I just, what do I need to do? Do I need to take more fat burners? What do I need to do? Can I drink coffee so I can get through my workouts? And I'm like, no, you need a rest. You know, you need a rest. And so different times for different people come into play. For me, 6 weeks out from a competition, I deload all weight. I completely stop weight training. I eat maintenance or above. Whoa, I mean, what bodybuilder 6 weeks out eats maintenance or above? At least maintenance I've heard of from some people, but believe it or not, if you can deplete yourself sufficiently enough through workouts and diet, sometimes, you know, I take, you know, certain stimulants. Everything's upregulated and your body's freaking out. The best thing that you can do is just rest and eat. You know, so it's not just in weights, it's everything. You can continue lifting the same volume that you've been doing and just simply eat more, and that in and of itself is a way to deload the body, if you will. Anything that alleviates stress off of the system. So it has to be flexible for people and their goals. Maybe you can't stop training, but you can eat more. Or maybe, you know, maybe you can't get more rest. You can, you know, lighten the load. Whatever. I mean, it's just variable, you know?
I agree totally with Jen. I think that deloading has so many different factors to it and so many different definitions. And that you have to, like she said, if it alleviates stress and it helps you it helps you regenerate, or it helps you recover, or whatever that may be, then, you know, I consider that deloading. I know there's probably a lot of textbook definitions out there, but to me, whatever it takes. I mean, that might mean taking a whole week off and not doing anything, and that might mean...
That's what I do, so...
Exactly, and that might be lowering the reps. That might mean, for my athletes, what I do on deloading phases, I tell them to go, you know, go swimming, you know, jump in the pool, have fun, you know, play some pickup basketball, but stay out of the weight room, stay out of your sport for a little while. Which is hard to do with these athletes these days. It's a year-round thing. But, you know, whatever can alleviate that. I just think we can't get caught up in defining terms.
Well, and
so
that, what you just said, that the main thing is so that their performance will not decrease over time. I mean, yeah, it's secondarily for an athlete, it's going to be a psychological break as well. But sometimes even on that side of things, that can be psychologically hard to deload. Whereas some of my, you know, my clients that are females that are just kind of like, you know, I've got competition clients, but I'm talking about my everyday moms. Like, it prevents deloading for a week, not weight training as hard, and eating. Their performance, do they really care? Not necessarily. They really care more about the way they look and how they feel. Mm-hmm. And so psychologically for them, it's actually, I mean, adherence trumps all. We all agree, right? Adherence. So yep. If you can eat up for a few days and psychologically you're better, you feel better, you know, then as long as you can jump back on the wagon a few days later after you're rested, then your results will be perpetual rather than falling completely off if you mentally can't handle your gains, you know?
Hey, Jen, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead, Keith.
Sure. Yeah, this is for Jen. You said something. I just wonder, when you're working with a lot of your female clients, you know, athletes or non-athletes, but ones that are really trying to cut up and lose that last little bit of weight, do you feel that just totally taking some time off, you know, is beneficial for that? In other words, when they come back, do you see more of a an increase in maybe that last bit of body fat?
Absolutely, and I'll speak for myself. My competition girls and my everyday people. the everyday people, the last little bit comes off because they keep going. You can't go and go and go and go and not rest at all. So their last little bit comes off because they can keep going for a long period of time. Psychologically, for a competition person, for me and my girls that are competing, it is, I find that your muscle will just go to pot if you don't rest towards the end. If you're close, you're close to an event, and you just keep going and going and going. This happened to me this last time. I really had to back off. Let me just use me as an example. I started having all the signs, low energy overall, very hard time sleeping, just no appetite. My body was completely flipping out. I started having headaches all the time. My body wouldn't hold my adjustments. This is a separate topic, I guess, but like when I'm not healthy, when I'm not well, my body goes out of alignment real easily. Mm-hmm. And so I had all the telltale signs, and I went to the gym, and I got on a bike. I went to go lift. I couldn't lift, so I was like, 8%, and I had 6 weeks left. I needed to get another percent and a half off. And I couldn't go. I couldn't even pedal at zero resistance. I was like, I'm done. I'm trashed. So I went home. I got a babysitter. I slept all day long. I ate probably 2,500 calories a day. This is 6 weeks out from a competition, keep in mind. 2,500 calories a day, which is like 1,000 or more over what I was dieting on, and did nothing, did absolutely nothing. I sat out and laid out on my back patio and let my kids play, and that was it. And I hit that last 6 weeks so hard, and I did, seven fat protocols and all the things that we girls do at the end to get that last bit off, and I was able to preserve muscle. Just because of that 4 or 5 days that I took, mm-hmm. just doing nothing and eating a whole bunch of food. So, yes, I absolutely think it's 100% necessary, especially if you start seeing chronic fatigue syndrome symptoms, to absolutely back off. Because what is worse than getting down? We say you want to be 6 to 8% for a competition. You've gotten down to 9, and you really want that last bit off, but your body will just absolutely stop. No more fat loss for you. Only muscle from here on out. From this point forward, if you don't rest, your body composition will be less muscle, same amount of fat. I won't let it go, is what your body's telling you. So absolutely think it's important and necessary for people to do that.
And yes. For the people out there, Jen, I'm guessing you weren't eating bags of Skittles and pizza. You were having good food.
Yes, I was eating fish and oats, and yes, I was definitely eating clean food that was not my post-contest binge type recovery diet.
Yeah, and that's the thing Jen was talking about. When you're working with people that are especially dieting and training real hard for like competitions, you need to have a back-off week. You need to have a couple back-off days where you don't do things that you would do in the norm in the contest. Like Jen said herself, 6 weeks out, who does that? Who goes and eats that way? Especially because most people are going to say, oh, damn, I need to drop another percent of body fat. You have to look at it like your body wants to hold on to fat no matter what you do. So you have to kind of do things to trick it up. And I definitely agree with Jen. Like that's a lot. So pretty much more the same what I do with like my clients that are doing like physique competitions is that like you have to pull them back because those people, they want to go hard and they want to go all the time. So I definitely agree with what Jen said there. And she brought up stress, and that's a thing. We have to look at exercise as a stress. It's a good stress. It's not a bad stress. But at the same time, acute stress can be healthy for us. Chronic stress, like continually going to the gym and pounding away with the volume and pounding away with the cardio and with the dieting, that takes a lot out of us. So I think people have to factor that in.
And us competition people, we get a little psychotic at the end. We really do want to go hard, hard, hard.
Yeah.
I really was in like phase one, phase two of chronic fatigue syndrome, and I actually drug myself to the gym thinking that I needed to go. And, as smart as I am, I was able to sit back and say, I'm kidding myself. It's time to back off. That's all there is to it. No more fat will come off my body in the state that I'm in right now. I have to stop.
No, I definitely agree with Jen, especially like you said, when you're really training hard and you got to hit that stage, you need to get every fat off. And sometimes doing a lot less and pulling back is the best thing for you.
Yep.
before we keep moving forward, I'm going to see if this works. I'm going to try to play a Dremel in the background. You guys won't hear it, but I'll hear it. And then I'm going to announce the secret word of the week for Black Star Labs.
Hello?
Can you hear me, Jimmy?
Hello?
Oh, everyone lost me. Are you guys
there?
Can you guys hear me?
What the hell did you do, man?
Now.
Can you hear me?
I can now.
I can't.
Can you hear me?
I can hear everyone.
I can hear everybody.
I can hear Jen and Jimmy. And...
You can't hear me?
I can't hear you, Kevin.
Oh.
Kev, Keith can't hear
you. I can
you.
Hear you.
Okay. You just said you can hear Keith.
I can hear everyone.
Keith can't hear you, Kevin.
Keith, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. I can now.
Okay.
Oh.
God. I'm just going to leave this
I feel
in.
Like we're like on a cell phone commercial. Can you hear me now?
Okay, people understand the struggles I go through to edit this show every week.
That's because you want to screw around and try to be freaking DJ Mixmaster.
I was trying
there.
To play. All right. All right. Here we go. Here we go. This is the drum roll.
That was weak as hell.
All right. Well, Jimmy, do you want to beatbox it then?
They're not ready for me. I mean, I think the listenership's not ready for me. I actually got really good at beatboxing. I've been doing that a lot now.
It's all right, Jimmy. No one cares.
Oh, okay. All right. You're going to take it there. I tried to help you with your damn punchback posture.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
The secret word of the week for BlackStarLabs.com is Phoenix. And if you know Carl Valley, you know why it's Phoenix. But that's...
Here's my question.
What?
Is this a downloaded show? Everybody's going to have it at the same time, dude. Like,
yeah.
All right. You're just going to have your inbox blown up? That's fine.
It's not my... No, they're going to be placing orders at the BlackStarLabs.com site.
I thought you said that if people had to email you for like something free. Or was I not listening to
no,
that show?
No, you weren't. So, all right. That's not going to help your contract negotiations. But...
No, there's other podcasts out there.
Okay. Yeah. Have fun with that. Anyways.
That's okay. I'll give you a private tutoring session on contract negotiation if you need one. Okay.
I would love that. I would love that. And
yes,
all right. Are we done talking about deloading? Is there anything else anyone wants to add? That sounds like no.
I think we hit it.
All right.
Let's talk about getting our butts out in the sun.
All right, yeah, let's talk about that. For our second roundtable discussion, we're going to be talking about exercising outside. And this is something, I mean, I think it's great to talk about because this is something you can do with if you have less time. You can take advantage of the nice sun out there. And if you're Jimmy Smith, you can get out and just pretend like people care that you're at the beach. So you can do things like that.
Because you're pale as hell.
I'm not pale as hell. Hey, I was.
Whenever we get.
Go ahead, Jen.
Oh, I was just gonna say this is big for moms, so I'm excited to talk about this.
Oh yeah, exactly. That's something you can. I was gonna bring up the first point of just.
I was gonna say it's big for me and moms because I like moms so.
Oh God.
Harry, if you want to take Jimmy Smith off the show, send the emails to take Jimmy off the show at thefitcast.com. I'll have that set up by tonight, so feel free to email those in.
So you're Donovan McNabb now, huh?
I'll do what I can. But anyways, we're talking about a roundtable discussion. We're trying not to go off topic, but the first thing I wanted to bring up was something as simple as... You know what? Getting a workout at the playground. I was actually at a playground last night to try some of these things out.
Did you fit right in?
Yeah, I did. 21-year-old in front of a bunch of 6-year-olds.
Dude, but you're like 5'2".
All right. I'm really getting to the point, Jimmy, where I can just hang up on you if you want to do that.
The blows are getting lower.
It's getting bad.
Really.
We should just have a show of just me and Jimmy yelling at each other for half an hour, but I don't think anyone wants that. Maybe we'll do that next week. But anyways, I was talking about just training at the playground. I mean, there's so many things you can do besides from doing bodyweight exercises. You can do things with resistance. Like you can, for example, you can do pull-ups. You can do all kinds of different variations of push-ups. You can climb up the slides on all fours. That might look kind of weird, like an adult with a bunch of kids around, but if you're chasing your kids, it works. And I mean, there's so many things you can do. It's endless. I mean, they have those rings there. I remember we went to, I think it was Muscle Beach, where they have the rings, and they have like a same exact thing at many playgrounds where you can do things with the rings. I don't know if have any of you guys been to Muscle Beach?
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, they have the rings there, which are just insane. I couldn't do anything on them, but the ropes are cool. I don't think they have ropes at playgrounds anymore. I think they're a little too dangerous. But, well, first off, Jen, you sounded like you had a lot of stuff to talk about in regards to this. We'll start with you.
Well, I have just, gosh, I'll just run over what I do. There's this park here in the city that I live in, little Idaho Falls, Idaho community park. And it's an awesome park. It's got, I take my kids there with me when I don't feel like going to the gym. Well, I take my kids there with me all the time. But when I don't feel like going to the gym and I'm specifically going there to train, there is so much to do. If it is a cardio day, there is a running path. If it's like an interval day, the outside of the park is really cool. It's kind of hillish. And so I will just lightly jog down the downhills and find any and all ways that I can to get to the bottom of these hills and just, you know, power up to the top. So a bit of interval training there on the legs. We also, my husband and I, since we've got four kids, I mean, you can imagine it's hard to go out like as a family and train together, but at the same time, we've got bikes, mountain bikes, and we take our, the buggies, you know, the little, have you guys seen those ones? They're canopy, they hold two kids in them.
Kind of like the bike that was on Three's Company in the opening
scene. They jump onto the back of your bike.
Three's Company?
I didn't know what she was talking about. Is that like a two group?
Hook onto the back of your mountain bike. They hook onto the back of your mountain bike.
I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, that's like and it's like a it's
kids,
like a trailer in the back.
They like, I've got four kids that each weigh 30 pounds, give or take. So you get on a mountain bike on in second or third gear and are hauling, you know, freaking 70 to 80 pounds behind you up and down hills. That in and of itself is interval training. So there's that. And then as far as the playground, I just take my kids and I just let them go. Just let them get them out, go on a little play equipment or whatever. And I have a very, it's a very simple circuit that I just really love to do. And it's just some body weight. I'll just run through it. I'll do pull-ups, many as I can do, on the rings. And then I'll take a kid as my guinea pig, pop them on my back, do weighted push-ups.
Wow.
And then I'll do as many of those as I can. And then I just go over to any apparatus that I can use to stabilize myself at all, any pole of any kind on the whole playground, and just kind of use my fingers to balance me, and I'll just do a set of sissy squats. Just no weight, just kneeling or standing sissy squats, and some single leg squats. And you can actually, believe it or not, I do have to stabilize myself on the swing set pole for this, but I'll put a kid on my back and do single leg squats with like 30 pounds on my back. And then in between, once I've done one of each of those sets, then I don't really care who's looking at me. I'm one of those people who I really don't care what anyone else thinks about me. So I'll just do some light calisthenics, some jumping jacks, some high knees, some body weight jumping squats, just to kind of loosen up the strain from all that weight training. And then I'll go through it again, and I'll go through that like 3, 4, 5 times. I mean, that right there is just as good as anything you could do in the gym. You've got back, chest, legs. You've got the whole body. And you can, on the push-ups, you can vary. I'll vary my grip each time. Sometimes I'll do it for triceps. Sometimes I'll widen the grip, hit the biceps a little bit more. You know, diamond. There's all sorts of different ways that you can vary it. But that right there is my very favorite circuit. I can go to the park anytime I want and get an intense workout.
Which, and you made a great point saying that you don't care what people think about you when you're like doing calisthenics at the playground, and the other parents there might be watching you, but maybe they should be jumping in with you. You know, it's kind of the same people that might be giving you.
And you know, I would let them. They would probably feel like retards, but I would let them. I used to be an aerobics instructor. Okay, this is a funny little tidbit. I actually used to go teach the ROTC boys step aerobics. So I know step aerobics is kind of a swear word in my vocabulary nowadays, but I would let them. I would have a group fitness weight training session at the park. It's possible.
Good times. Well,
that, I mean, you guys can imagine that workout. That is a hardcore circuit right
no,
there.
No, I'm just trying to visualize 30 pounds on your back doing single-legged squats. That's intense.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you do, like, a lot of work, like, with your kids? You know, like, you said, like, squats with, like, a lot of, like, you know, farmers carries, things like that. Do you, like, actively use your kids in your workout a lot?
For weight?
Yeah, for weight.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I do at the park, absolutely. In fact, awesome. In fact, honestly, like, I can do, like, 10 pull-ups, but me, my own body weight. I can do 10 pull-ups on my own. But if I want to max out on, like, a set of three, I'll hang a kid off my back.
You know what?
At the park and do pull-ups on the ring.
The thing that's so great about this is that it's perfect progression. As your kids get bigger, you get stronger.
Isn't it beautiful? Your built-in weight increases right there.
It's a built-in progression. That's exactly.
That's 10 more pull-ups.
Am I running for president again? Am I running for president again? Because
you
I put kids on my back and do pull-ups?
Oh, that was already the title of the show, though. I don't know.
No.
We got to think of a new title for this week's show. I'll figure it out.
Contract negotiations.
That's 10. Saying. Hey, Kev. Yeah. That's 10 more pull-ups than you can do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the brother low on this
hey,
show.
Hey, you know what? If you got to use a band, you use a band, yo. I mean, that's what guys got to do. It's called, you know what? You got to get the reps in. I think we talked about this on the show last week.
Uh-huh.
I'm not ashamed of the band. I mean, I could do pull-ups without a band, but I need to get in those 10 pull-ups, you know? And these aren't those chin-ups. I'm not using my biceps like you huge bicep guys out there.
Huge bicep guys.
Yeah,
that's my name for
guys.
You.
Oh, wide grip overhanded push pull-ups.
Yeah, damn right.
Hardcore.
And I have great shoulder health because of it, so thank you.
I love chin-ups. They're my favorite exercise.
All right. Does anyone else have anything to add to this? I think Jen did a great job of covering it. Well, the only thing I really wanted to add before we keep going is that things like there's so many places where you can go play pickup basketball. You can play you can go swimming again at the beach. You can do things like you can run through the water like you would in a pool. You can do that at the beach, and it'll actually give you have you working on more stability because you're going to have those waves coming in trying to push you over. So that's another great factor to have. And also, the one thing I wanted to run by you guys before we moved on any further was what's your take on people running on the beach for exercise opposed to running on like asphalt? Keith, I wanted to go to you first with this.
Actually, I was going to bring that up as my outdoor thing.
Oh,
but,
sorry.
No, that's okay. It ties in. I'm you know, like everything, it all depends. I mean, I think running on the beach is awesome. I think it's an excellent way to exercise. I think but I also think you have to be very careful because it's a plyometric activity in nature, especially if you run in deep sand. Most people, when I lived in Arizona, we used to do sand pit training all the time because out there you have a lot of sand and no water. And we would go out and run in the sand and with our athletes, but the problem was we had a lot of athletes coming back with major problems with their Achilles tendons, even knee issues, hamstring pulls, things like that. What we're finding is it's a little too stressful if you're not trained. And you're going to get a lot more ankle movement in the sand than you normally do. You're going to get a lot more knee movement than you normally do, and it's going to be a lot harder on your body. So it is something you have to progress up to. So I tell people if they're going to run in the sand, run by the water first, and then kind of work your way back up the beach a little bit and get in deeper sand as you go. I think it's a great exercise. I think it's a great way to train, but you just have to kind of progress with it because it can be very rough on your body.
Sorry to bump it just really quickly. I forgot to mention our sponsors before we jumped into the second roundtable, so I just want to do that quickly right now. First off, Craig Ballantyne and TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. And I don't know, I got actually a couple of emails from people who got in on the huge bonuses that Craig was doing. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw like all the free stuff he was giving away, but it was like meal plans 101 from Chris Moore, things like that, which is, I don't know how he put that together, but You can always check out Craig's stuff at turbulencetraining.com, and you can even order through the fitcast.com site. There's a little Turbulence Training picture on the right-hand side, and again, that helps us out at the Fitcast as well. Next up, Blackstar Labs at blackstarlabs.com. If you didn't catch our secret word of the week, you're going to have to rewind a little bit, but you can always get 10% off all your orders at Blackstar Labs by typing in the coupon code FIT10 at the comments section at checkout. And I must say, I just bought a bulk lot of beta-alanine. And by bulk lot, I mean a gallon Ziploc bag full of beta-alanine, 1,000 caps, which is a pretty cool sight to see when you take it out of the box. But
gotta go powder.
Well, it is. It's powder in the caps.
Thank you.
Well, it's not like the hard. I don't know what it's not the plastic caps. It is the plastic caps, not like the caps that like BioTest uses. But you can get a couple months supply for $50, or you could go to BioTest and get a 1 month supply for $50. I'm not saying I love T-Nation. I love BioTest stuff, but you know what? If you want to get on the beta alanine bandwagon, at least give it a shot and get a couple months supply for $50 at blackstarlabs.com. And you know what, Jimmy, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this, and actually you should probably mention, what are your guidelines for beta alanine supplementation?
You caught me off guard. Now with beta alanine, what I do is about 30 minutes to 45 minutes pre-workout, I'll go anywhere 2 to 3 grams, and that's with some other amino acids and some other things in a pre-workout shake. And then in my workout, again, I go another 2 to 3 grams, and then post-workout is the exact same thing. So I roughly get about 6 grams of beta-alanine in a day. I played around splitting it up with less per serving and doing it, you know, a little more frequently throughout the day, like adding a 4th serving in, kind of cutting everything in half. But I personally like it, and I see some good results with my clients using that protocol. So using beta-alanine 3 times a day all around the workout. So that's just my protocol really quick. I mean, there's a lot more to it. Like, there's a lot more that I put in my shakes than just beta-alanine, but that's just my beta-alanine protocol.
I think that's a great topic that we could bring up in future shows. And also, everyone can check out the interview that I did with Cassandra Forsyth, where we went in-depth on beta-alanine on the FitCast Insider. Make sure to check that out as well if you're interested. But I know I'm kind of going off track, but last thing about beta...
Oh, he's yelling at me about going off track.
All right, well, last thing about beta-alanine, Jimmy, I know you have some experience with it, and I took it almost 9 or 10 months ago. When it first came out on BioTest, I got a couple bottles of it, and I never had that tingling sensation.
No, I never got it either.
With BioTest, but now since I went back on it with Blackstar Labs, like I was going like at 2 grams at a time, and I'm still getting that tingling sensation, which just bugs the crap out of me. So that just might be that some people have to ease into it. Just start off with maybe a gram or a gram and a half, 2 or 3 times a day, and bump.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people get some gastric issues with it, and I'm not trying to be gross.
No, it's not gastric. I just get that tingling sensation, like all
through your
body. No, I
know some people will get like a gastric issue with it as well. So, I mean, I've never had either. I've never had the tingling. I don't use Blackstar Labs version. I don't use BioTest version. I use a third company. But
you can mention their name if you like, Jimmy. It's all
right. I use Bulk Nutrition actually.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Mike
you can
stuff.
Get
Mike
the
stuff's real good. Like my candles. So yeah, like that's the brand I use, and I don't get the tingling, I don't get the gastric issues. So I like it. I mean, I notice a huge difference when I don't use, like, because I'll be in a hurry. There'll be some times where I won't put it in, like my during workout shake, and I'll notice a big difference in fatigue. So I mean, that's just something to think about. But like I said, if there's other things in your, you know, during workout shake, you're not gonna fatigue as much. So.
So it doesn't live up to the anal leakage of the Olestra chips. Ouch. That's sad. I mean, people still, I mean, for fat loss, those still are a hot seller on eBay, if you check
Wait, what
out.
Are you talking about?
The Olestra Wow chips.
No, I don't think I'm not really familiar with those.
That was before our time, Jimmy.
But shit. Guess so.
Literally.
Guess we're too young.
Anyways, last but not least, RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. I mean, everyone on the show knows Mike, and everyone who listens to the show knows Mike. And if you haven't checked out his site and checked out some of his products like Bulletproof Knees, obviously Magnificent Mobility, Inside Out, which they also have manuals that come with both of those now. Really, I mean, just, I know I'm going off topic, but Magnificent Mobility can change your training life, seriously. And just getting in that dynamic warm-up in the beginning can mean so much for you. But that's it for sponsors. Back to our discussion on outside training. Is there anything else that anyone else wants to matter?
Yeah, I mean, are you going to include me in the damn conversation?
Well, Jimmy, I didn't know. I just know you go to the beach. I don't know if you exercise there. You just go.
I used to. And it's, I think beach exercising is, I mean, it's good. Like, just getting outside is just overall healthy for you. Like, you look at the dip in testosterone that we have during the winter, like in North America. So just getting outside and just being in the sun is healthy in of itself. And like, I know a lot of mothers that do like a similar workout stuff like Jen does, and I think that's great. You know, like for that population.
That's awesome. I think that's so cool that Jen, you should write about that. And just, I think women out there would love that. And I mean, even guys. Well, guys go to the park with their kids too.
Maybe I'll change my creatine thing to next week, and I'll type up and write up a little bit about park workouts for moms or something. I'll give you some good stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, like I think a lot of people just can benefit from it. Like I mean, guys in the park, you know, just like sled dragging. I love taking my sled up to, I have a park up the street from my house and doing sled dragging up there.
We're trying to keep this free, Jimmy.
What's possible. That?
We're trying to keep this at free. I mean, I guess you could tie.
I'm not selling anything. Do I sell sleds?
No, I'm saying we're trying to keep this free to the people. What percentage of our audience do you think has a sled at their house?
I know. I'm just saying as an example, but I'll get back to
the beach.
Oh,
you know what you could do? Again, using your kids as counterweight, you can take a sled from snow.
What if you don't have kids? What if you don't have kids? Are you going to
get some rocks? The same thing.
People go out getting kids? I mean,
you could drag your kid.
No. Yeah, just have your kid trying to go one way, you go the other.
tie a rope to your
kid
and drag
him.
No, I mean,
you can get a sled that's used for snow, like going down a hill, you go sledding, not a snow tube, but a sled, and you can just throw rocks in it, throw like 50 or 70 pounds of rocks if wherever you're starting off at, and you can put a rope on it, get it over your shoulder, and drag it.
Well, that's where I was going to go next.
On grass.
Like, beach workout.
Yeah.
I used to, and this is, you can go back to last summer, when I just wanted to get out and work out at the beach, I would go and I would take shopping bags, you know, plastic shopping bags, triple, quadruple them up, and just put sand in there. And then I would do, you know, like carries with sand. And then you can make the bags as heavy and light as you want, so carries and throws, you know, doing chin-ups off a tree. You know, there's just really random things like that you can do. I mean, finding rocks and, you know, and just throwing there and squatting, doing things like that. It's just fun to get out and to work out outside.
I just throw my kids. I forgot to add in one of the exercises that I do, which is I just take a kid and go all the way down into a parallel squat, explode up, throw the kid into the air, let the kid come crashing down, catch the kid, come back down into a squat, and go back up. And there you've got weighted plyometric exercise right there.
And these are other people's kids, right? Not yours, Jen. You're doing this with other people's kids.
I throw my own kids in the air. I'm strong enough to catch them. I don't drop my children.
And hope you don't miss.
No, I don't. I've never missed. No, but you know, along the lines of like running on the beach, it's good because it obviously stimulates the muscle in a different way than running on pavement. But as far as like injuries are concerned, like in women, I'm just going to move over to women again, and that there are days for high intensity cardio work. There are days for steady state work, and I periodize my clients' training so that they are incorporating an appropriate amount of cardiovascular training, regardless of which kind it is, into their training. And if they were asking me, well, what should I do at the park, Jen, you know, for you know, high intensity cardio, I'm not going to tell them to do jump squats on pavement for a long time or something like that. I like to reserve running on pavement for like if you don't have a track, you can just, you know, do sprints out on the road or at the park on a path or something like that, sprint sections. But I would prefer people, women, my clients, men, whoever, in general, to walk up and down hills, run on grassy hills, explode up hills, where there's some cushion off the joints. I mean, there's no point in beating yourself on the pavement over and over again, day after day, because you think you have to go do cardio. You have to find the creative ways to protect your body from that kind of abuse. So, there you go.
Good points. Is there anything else that anyone wanted to add to this?
Not me.
Nope.
All right.
Dude, I pirated the outdoor conversation.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Everybody's got to do it at one time.
Yeah, it's nice to not have Jimmy doing it for a change.
Man.
We need Tony. Tony's our balance on the show, and things just get nasty without Gentlecore.
This is Tony Gentlecore. Well, I love Tony. Tony's my boy.
That's just so funny to me because we... Oh, sorry. Wow. I hope everyone, if you're new to the show, go back and listen to the very first show Tony was on as a guest. And just listen to the beginning of that show. It is...
Kev, I have a question. Do you miss it, Tony? You sound like you kind of missed it.
No, I just think that's real. You just had that spot on to what it was when we recorded it.
Dude, you love Tony.
Dude, you do. Seriously.
You have a man crush.
Hey, just because he has his own series on the FitCast Insider doesn't mean anything.
The first and only person to have his own series on the FitCast Insider.
Well, that's true. Anyways, we're going to get out of here. This is episode 55. Again, as always, don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Check out thefitcastinsider.com. So much great content on there. We're going to have some awesome stuff planned for the next couple weeks that are going to be up on thefitcastinsider.com. You know, what's up? You know, check out iTunes. Submit some reviews on iTunes. Help boost us up in those rankings because we're getting beat out by, like, Naked Yoga Fitness, which, I mean, that's cool, but it's just audio. It's not video, which...
Next week, Kevin will be naked on the FitCast.
Whoa.
Oh, dude, that's nasty.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, we don't need that.
Well, next week, me and Keith are going to be at the Perform Better seminar, so I think we have
that's
to...
That's true.
We might have sort
detailed
of...
Detailed notes.
We hope
that.
So.
I'm going to hold out.
We're going to have
notes,
to record
though.
Late that night, huh?
We can record late that night, or we can just record... we'll talk about it off air.
Yeah, we'll record late at night. All right, anyways, for FitCast, episode number 55, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jen Heath.
I'm Keith Scott.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And we're going to go because we got to work on Jimmy's contract negotiations. He's being a real ass. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone. Take care. And we'll see you next week on the FitCast. Let me just write this down because, Jimmy, I have a bone to pick with you, son.
First of all, don't call me son. I'm 3 years older than you. Or what are you, 21? I'm 24.
Jeez.
All right.
Second of all, pick it already, damn it. Don't keep me in suspense.
All right, here we go. I guess we're going to continue our movie discussion a little bit this week.
Oh,
because,
Christ.
You know what? This really peeved me a little bit because...
Peeves? What?
Isn't that
a word? Like that?
It's like a pet peeve, you know?
Peeves me.
All right. Anyways, Tony emails me, I think it was this morning, or it was last night, and says that he couldn't make the show. And he said, yeah, I saw a movie with Jimmy last night. You're going to have to rip him because we saw Knocked Up, and he didn't like it. And I must say, that was the movie that I just was talking about that I saw. And how could you not like this movie of epic comedic performances?
It was stupid. It was idiot. It wasn't even funny. Like every single movie that the critics say is funny typically isn't. Like if you look at the original reviews of Old School, they said the movie wasn't funny at all. And that movie was hysterical, you know, with Will Ferrell and Vince Vaughn. But the thing about Knocked Up is this: is like there's a lot of scenes in there that they need to put in. Like, the whole backstory with, like, the sister and her husband and him playing fantasy sports, that didn't need to be in there. That would have saved a half hour. Like, the four or five realization moments where he's not ready to be a father.
She was pissed off at him for the whole movie.
Yeah, but that doesn't need to be in there. Like, you have her pissed off, but you don't need a backstory on that.
Spoiler warning. I don't think that's a spoiler, but...
Like, you don't need to have four or five moments where he's like, I'm not ready to be a father, and then he is. Like, how about the part when he went back to his apartment to get his suit to go to Vegas, and everybody had pink eye? All that didn't need to be in there.
That was funny.
That wasn't funny.
Because the guy farted on his pillow.
All right, well, dude, people fart. It happens. I mean, you know, like,
oh,
I just
sorry,
think,
Jimmy. I forgot you're 58 years old and nothing.
No, I'm not saying. Look, dude, I laugh at humor. Like, if anybody saw The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, he gets hit by a car and his shoe goes flying off, and I was dying just with his shoe flying off. And I laughed
that was very funny. And that was very funny in that movie right there about the shoe.
It was hysterical.
I haven't seen that movie. It looks too depressing.
But it's like, no, that movie was good too. But I mean, I just think knocked up. Like, there was a, like, the whole scene where they're giving birth, and I mean. I know it's a natural process, but, like, they didn't need to have the camera angle, like, down there. I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff.
Didn't you ever have, like, sixth grade sex ed?
You saw the head coming out? And it's just, like, there's a lot of stuff that they didn't need to put in there that, like, was TMI. And the thing I hate most about shows, about movies, is that they'll put their funniest parts in their previews. Like, they put the part about the friend walking in and like, you know, he's going to rear your child. They put that part in the previews and... There wasn't any other really funny parts in the movie. But I did see the Fantastic Four this weekend, and I didn't think that was good either because they didn't show the Silver Surfer too much. Like, they didn't make him fight the Fantastic Four. It was really quick. I don't know. I'm done with movies.
Where do you guys find time to watch these movies? God, I haven't watched
it. Saturday night, you
social.
Need something to take,
yeah,
you need something to take a date to, dude. I mean, like, sometimes...
I gotta go out to the movie with my husband once a week.
See?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I love going to the movies, and... I mean, sometimes, like, if you have a date that, you know, you don't want to go to dinner with, you go to a movie. And
yeah,
like,
and you just don't take her at night because it's like $25 to take someone to the movie now.
Okay, dude. You're the kind of guy that brings a girl like the Chinese buffet, like your first date.
No.
Yeah, I can see you right
no.
now.
You go to a day movie, and what you do is, if you're still doing stuff and you have nothing to do, like, bring her home and watch another movie.
Oh, dude, you've never even had a kiss. I'm done.
Okay.
I love you, Kevin. I love you.
Oh, God. I'm going to edit that out.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah. I love you, too, Kevin.
Thank you. See, I
love you, Jeff.
Kevin, I think you're cool.
See? And you know what? Jimmy gets all mad about a comment
mad.
That's put into an email.
What comment?
Keith made a comment.
No, Keith. See, Keith was hating because you said to your significant other the show, and I said others with a big S. And Keith was like, Keith said something dumb. You know, like, I didn't get mad.
he said, Keith said, like,
I said others like that, and I said, yeah, my girlfriend listens and always says, who's that sexy voice in the background? And I said, oh, it must be Jimmy Smith. And then she's like, no, it's Kevin Larrabee.
Hey, I have a deep voice, and ladies like a deep voice, so.
All right. is there any off-topic
stuff? As long as she's not talking about me, we're good to go.
Not yet. Not. We're working on that, but not yet.
Oh, man.
God, is she going to listen to this week's show?
That was a joke.
I think the email about Transformers, though, someone said that they didn't like the Dinobots. I think it was, like, one of those guys that has... Like, I don't know who it was, but someone said
on
that.
On T-Nation?
No. An email to Jimmy at JimmySmithTraining.com. Someone emailed me there and said they listen to the show and they like it, but they don't agree with me on the Transformers. So, I'm just going to leave it there.
Okay. Well, I think we're good. I think everyone has all the off-topic stuff out of our system, and we can move on to the roundtable. Does that sound good?
Good.
Yeah, that was like 8 minutes of just random crap.
No, people find that funny, though. I mean, I get a lot of emails. People are saying the show's hysterical.
I hope so. It's boring to listen about fitness stuff for, like, if I go to a seminar, as much as I want to learn, I'm going to get bored after watching two straight presentations.
Well, it depends who's speaking, and it also depends on a lot of factors. Like, I mean, I had fun at the last seminar we were at, me and you, Kev, because I was making fun of your posture the whole time.
Hey, it's getting better. Oh, damn. We didn't have Tony to give a posture update this week. But yeah, it's getting better. I'm having so much fun training at Excel. It's great, and I'm actually seeing.
What's the treatment like, you know?
Yeah, man, I'm seeing like amazing strength increases every week, and I'm actually starting to loosen up my hips a little bit. I can actually box squat correctly with good form all the way without my hips giving out on me, and it's been good. It's been a lot of fun.
Good. I mean, really, the training environment's huge. So.
Yeah, I think we already talked about that, though.
I wasn't saying we should talk about it. I was just bringing something up.
All right.